the preeminence of Christ in your relationships, sacred roles of children. Here is given to us the first of man's interaction with another man. Our own parents, the giver of life to us, the beginning of human relationships, begins with a biblical understanding of human authority. This is given so that there will be orderliness in God's created world. There will be an understanding concerning how we ought to live, what we ought to do. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we say we have three homes. Our heavenly home, that's our eternal dwelling place in heaven. This is our family in heaven. Then we have our church home. That is our extended family bonded together by the blood of Christ. And our family home with father, mother, children, held together by blood ties. There is an eternal perspective to an earthly life that we want to bring to you. As we live on earth, we are preparing for that heavenly home, that life in that heavenly home where we would dwell for eternity. And so we need to have an understanding of a biblical perspective of this earthly life. Our earthly life is the training ground for our heavenly life. You compare your life here on earth, 70 years, by way of strength, 80 years. Then comes sorrow and pain. For our earthly life is a temporal sojourn compared with our heavenly life that is eternal. Our earthly life is to be lived as strangers and pilgrims, transiting to a better life. Our earthly life is not all there is to life. Oftentimes, our earthbound perspective causes us to see, not to see, and understand the true meaning and purpose of life, so that we cannot see and understand unless our Maker will reveal it to us. That is why when we begin this chapter in the book of Colossians, this book that speaks to us and instructs us concerning life with God and the blessed life of walking with God. He tells us when we begin chapter 3, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on earth. And so, what does it mean to set your affections on things above and not on things on earth? Well, here you would be able to see, and as the various aspects of relationships and life on earth is being depicted to us, the Lord wants us to see a heavenly perspective to that relationship, so that we would understand and God would give us the truth that we would not live an earthbound life that would lead to much disappointment and misery. And so the father-son relationship on earth is a picture of the father and son relationship we have for eternity in heaven. God wants us to understand that relationship, and to understand this relationship in eternity, our earthly life, we say, is the training ground. The purpose and mind of God may not be fully understood by the created being. We may not understand, but God's word seeks to reveal to us as we understand who he is and his relationship with us. God gives us an understanding of how we are to interact one with another. So comes the Apostle Paul's teaching concerning the sacred role of children in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There is an earthly shadow and there's a heavenly significance. Family relationship between father and son is a relationship that we have with our Father in eternity. Why did we have a heavenly Father? Have you ever wondered, why did we pray the Lord's Prayer? Our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. The Lord wants us to understand a heavenly perspective so that we would, because we are people who have been risen with Christ, and therefore we are to seek those things which are above. And if ye be dead in Christ, then your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verse 3. As we begin the chapter, Paul lays for us the foundation of this earthly life and the relationships that he has for us. So, the word father means the source or originator of. When you call someone father, you are acknowledging that you are from that person. I'm from the father. So father means bring about you, come about by. He's the father of so-and-so. Called father means you are from him. So here is the first function of the father as he, what we say, creates, brings you into being. You cannot come about until you are produced. So the concept is that we are to receive our existence from our Heavenly Father in heaven, as we have received our earthly existence from our earthly Father. So the earthly Father is a shadow of the Heavenly Father. Without the reality of earthly Father, we do not have a body. And without the Heavenly Father, we do not have a spiritual life. So from the earthly Father, we know that we cannot come about without someone producing you. And similarly, we can understand that without God, we do not have a soul. Why are children conceived and born and not created like the angels? You know, the angels are created as they are. But the human soul comes with human conception. Adam and Eve were created complete in adulthood. No need to grow in wisdom. In Eden, God spoke to Adam and Eve because sin separated them from God. And so as we think about the effects, well, of sin that plagued the world, which Paul is trying to speak to us when he says, put on the new man, put off the old man. So here, not only does the Father gives us existence, but also gives us the likeness. You have a likeness to your Father. We are made in the image of God. Right? Our DNA comes from the DNA of our father and our mother. And our DNA is unique. Right? And God knows, right, our DNA code so that he is able to reconstruct us, right, in our resurrected body, that unique DNA code that each one of us possess, that he created for us. He is the only one, we say, who knows and able to do that work. So a son's character, we say, is like, has a behavior that resembles the father, that of the father. So we reflect the attributes and character of God. Right? And so the father has that role, right, not only to bring existence for the children, but also in the nourishing and grooming of the children. To care, to nourish, to educate, typify our Heavenly Father maturing us spiritually. So we thank God for fathers and mothers, and we remember their influence in our lives, we remember their love, their care, their nurture. And the Bible teaches us in the fifth commandment to honor father and mother. And this is the first commandment pertaining to human relations and the only commandment with a promise of blessing. It is in this role of nurturing and nourishing and caring that we see the injunction given here in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The word obey is a command that speaks of continuous or continual action. Here, obedience is in all things. It literally means all things. Why do we say this? Well, we will understand it when we look at it from a heavenly perspective, isn't it? The Father's will. Is it in any time bad for us? No. Is it in any time God's word would harm us? No. Not the case, isn't it? And so to obey the holy injunction, the command of God that children is to do to their parents, the word means to submit to and subject to. That means to obey. And the word obey means to hear under. It means to listen with attentiveness, to respond positively to what is heard. In other words, children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. Sam Gordon said, well, the child who is brought up to obey and honor their parents will always be sensitive to their wisdom, counsel, and welfare. More generally, the term means to comply with the commands, orders, or instructions of a superior or with the requirements of law, moral, political, municipal, to do that which is commanded or required, or to forbear from doing that which is prohibited. So the scripture admonition is given to us here. Children, obey your parents in all things. This admonition is in line with the tenet of teaching in scriptures, in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in particular the fifth commandment. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Keeping the fifth commandment is foundational to keeping the rest of the commandments. Steve Cole, he observed well. He says, if we honor our parents, we will not disgrace their name by becoming a murderer, by being unfaithful to our marriage vows, by stealing, by lying, by the greed and discontent underlying covetousness. The keeping of the fifth commandment also works backward to the first four. If we are rebellious and disrespectful towards our parents who gave us life and sustenance, we will also probably be rebellious and disrespectful toward the Lord God, our creator and sustainer. Disrespect towards parent and God will also carry over into disrespect of all authority and thus will result in a breakdown of law and order, leading to a disintegration of the very basis for civilized society. Thus, the keeping of the fifth commandment is not some outmoded, quaint idea to be set aside without consequence. So the family life, the role of the father, the mother, the role of the children, these are very much the roles that was ordained of God in heaven and that we need to understand. And so I pray, it is a prayer that the Lord would help children to obey their parents for his glory and through their obedience by giving respect, love, care, and giving of our time. D.L. Moody also observed well. He says that the first four commandments deal with our relations to God. They tell us how to worship and when to worship. They forbid irreverence and impiety in word and deed. Now, God turns to our relations with each other. Isn't it significant that he deals first with family life? God is going to show us our duty to our neighbor. How does he begin? Not just telling us how kings ought to reign, how soldiers ought to fight, how merchants ought to conduct their business, but how boys and girls ought to behave at home. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So you see that the character training of children in the home provides that basis in which society has its model and its function for the glory of God. So here we say the word there, well-pleasing. The word there means fully agreeable, acceptable unto the Lord. Well-pleasing, it speaks of that which God wills and recognizes. Right? So Romans 14 verse 18, it says, "For he that in this thing serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." That's the word acceptable there. Well-pleasing, translated. Where we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That he may be, we may be well-pleased in his sight. Well-pleasing in his sight. So the law of God places great emphasis and grave consequences of disobedience to parents. Exodus 21, verse 15 to 17 says, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be put to death. And he that stealeth," oh, well, these are other aspects of the law, but the emphasis here is concerning the children's relationship to the parents. Leviticus 20 verse 9 says, "For everyone that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He that curses or his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." Wow, what a strong, grave teaching that the law of God gives us. Why is it so heavy, you may ask? Well, because of the weight and the impact of going the other direction. That is why the penalty, the punishment is so grave. So with obedience and honor comes God's blessing. Therefore, parents are to teach children obedience for their preservation and prosperity, the prosperity of body and soul. Deuteronomy 5 verse 16, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son and will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and mother lay on hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and drunkard. All the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die, so that thou shalt put evil away from among you. All Israel shall hear and fear." Put evil away from you. How grave it is. Why did God put it like that in his law? You know, as we spend time meditating upon God's word and the laws of God, we will understand the mind of God. We will understand what is just, what is equitable, what is the right thing to do, what is the wrong thing to do, and we would be able to understand equity, consequences, justice. We will understand what to do in life. And therefore, it behooves us to take time to meditate and know what God is saying. So are we pondering concerning the laws of God that is revealed to us? Deuteronomy 21, verse 19 to 21 says, and Solomon also says, likewise, the same admonition to obey the teachings of their parents in Proverbs 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 6, verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother." So what does it tell us? Well, father and mother is to have that role of teaching their children, right? Showing them the commandments of God, teaching them about life, and the law of the mother. Right? The son is asked that he must not forsake. "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it up, and the young eagles shall eat it." Wow! The eyes the eye that mocketh his father. Oh, he said that, you know, let the birds pick it out. Wow, what a curse! What a terrible plight! So the eye, how we look, is so important, isn't it? Yeah. So God's word gives us wisdom, isn't it? Even our looking, the Lord wants us to see rightly. Understand correctly, so that we would have a right perspective, even in our sight. The prophet Malachi likened a son honoring the father as the spiritual son honoring the heavenly father. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? And the Lord saith, the Lord of hosts, O priest that despise my name, and say, wherein have ye despised thy name? Ah, here the Lord admonishes the people of Israel. Likewise, our Lord Jesus says, taught in Matthew 15, verse 4 to 6, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What is he saying here? Well, he says that I have a gift. I cannot give to my parents to help them, right, to support them, but I can give to the temple, to the church. That's not the right understanding of the law. Right? Honor the parents means to take care of them. Mark 7, verse 10 to 13, make it more clearly. Honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. But he say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is korban. That is to say, a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. But suffer ye no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. Many such like things do ye. So in the epistles, the Apostle Paul likewise taught in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, O children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. It is rightful that children obey their parents because it is the Lord's will according to his revealed word. God decrees it. He commanded it as such rightly. We follow for our well-being and blessing because Father is the arbiter of truth from error, right from wrong. So the little phrase in the Lord refers to the sphere of pleasing the Lord. It means when children obey his parents, he's doing it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. When children obey their parents and fathers, it's a reflection of their obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, oh, but my parents are not believers. I'm a believer. Should I obey them in the Lord? Well, this is what he's saying here. This is what it's teaching us here, how we ought to obey our parents in the Lord. And they are the one who gives us life. As we emulate that obedience toward them, we are able to show forth what God has taught us in his word. That's a practical aspect of understanding and practicing of the commandments. So when do Christians not obey their parents? In matters that will dishonor and bring disobedience to God and his word, as Peter answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have heard. To obey is in the present tense. Children are to continuously obey their parents. It is a way or habit of a blessed life. Hendrickson observed well. He said, disobedience to parents is one of the vices of paganism. Romans 1 verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of all things, disobedient to parents. And you would see this repeated again in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, when Paul describes the events, the behavior of people in the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So Hendrickson says, the soul destructive falsehood that would abolish all parental authority, the very word authority being anathema in certain educational circles, so that children no longer need to pay any attention to their father's instruction or to their mother's teaching. And that's what's happening today. Children are taught to report their parents for disciplining them. So the children is brought in a way that is contrary to the teaching of God's word, and there would be chaos in society. So we see that here, that children, godly parents would teach their children what they ought to do, and they are not taught to do as they please. So, according to both scriptures and experience, children are not only immature, but also sinful by nature, wholly incapable by nature to choose the good. So if you don't teach them from young, how can they learn? And if we don't know the laws of God ourselves, how can we teach them? Right? The home is the citadel, the place by which God begins to nurture, and therefore it behooves Christian parents to teach their children. And because of this, the admonition in the form which is found here, very comprehensive, the children are exhorted to obey their parents in all things. Always subject, of course, to the limit. We ought to obey God rather than men. And such obedience is well-pleasing. Right? The word that's expressed here, well-pleasing to God or to the Lord. And this modifier, as we said, may certainly be viewed as implied in our present passage, that God is pleased with this obedience is clear from the fact that he himself, in the commandments, pronounced a special blessing upon it. God is well pleased. Why is he well pleased? Because his name will be honored. If we learn to honor our parents, we will learn to honor God, you see, because they are the physical representation of the invisible God. And so that is carried out in the Lord, right? In fellowship with or dependence upon, and is to be understood by every child, whether old or young. So we sing the hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. J.H. Summis, the song that we have sung earlier. So the implication of obedience and observing the fifth commandment is our next thought. We can see that if their home life is all right, they are almost sure to fulfill the law, both with regard to God and men. So parents stand in the place of God to their parents in so many ways until the children arrive at years of discretion. Years of discretion. In other words, they learn to think for themselves, think biblically themselves, think correctly. If the children are true to their parents, it is easier for them to be true to God. Isn't it so? If they are true to their parents, they can be true to God, and they can be true to the authorities that they would see in their interaction with other human beings in society. So, He used the human relationship as a symbol of our relationship to him, both in creation and grace. So God is our Father in heaven. We are his offspring. On the other hand, if we have not learned to be obedient and respectful at home, they are likely to have little respect for the law of the land. And it is all in the heart, and the heart is prepared at home for good or bad conduct outside. The tree grows the way the twig is bent. Like the old oak tree, once it is a few hundred years old, you can't bend it, isn't it? The old oak is so hard, so hardened. Right? But when it's young, you can bend it, you can shape it. So the sacred role of parents, honor thy father and thy mother. The word honor means to more than obedience. Right? A child may obey through fear. It means love, affection, gratitude, and respect. So we are told that in the East, the words father and mother include those who are superior in age, wisdom, in civil or religious station, so that when the Jews are taught to honor their father and mother, it included all who are placed over them in these relationships, as well as their parents. And this is a crying need, is it? Isn't it? In our society today, the lawlessness of the present time is a natural consequence of the growing absence of a feeling of respect for those in authority. That's the situation in the last days that the Apostle Paul highlights to us. And the third thought, the blessing of obedience, the blessing of obedience. Right? Temporal blessing or curse. D.L. Moody said, well, I believe that to be literally true that our temporal condition depends on the way we act upon this commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. I believe it is literally true, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with that thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Cursed is he that setteth light by his father and mother. Whoso curses his father and mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. So it's easy to multiply texts from the Bible to prove this truth. Experience teaches the same thing. A good, loving son generally turns out better than a reflectory son. Obedience and respect at home prepares the way for obedience to the employer and are joined with other virtues that help toward a prosperous career crowned with a ripe, honored old age. Disobedience and disrespect for parents are often the first steps in the downward track. Many a criminal has testified that this is the point where he first went astray. I learned one thing in my 50 years. I have learned something, nothing else, that no man or woman who dishonors father and mother ever prospers. Young men, if your parents are still living, treat them kindly. Do all you can to make their declining years sweet and happy. Bear in mind that this is the only commandment that you may not always be able to obey. As long as you live, you will be able to serve God, to keep the Sabbath, to obey all the other commandments. But the day comes when when father and mother die, what bitter feelings you will have when the opportunities are gone. If you fail to show them respect, love that is their due, how long is it since you wrote to your mother? Perhaps you have not spoken to her for months or even for years. How often do we talk to them, really have a conversation to them, write to them, to influence them, or for the influence that they have for us? Moody said well again, would you rather be a Joseph or an Absalom? Joseph wasn't satisfied until he had brought his old father down into Egypt. He was the greatest man in Egypt, next to Pharaoh. He was arrayed in the finest garments. He had Pharaoh's ring on his hand and a gold chain on his neck. And they cried before him, bowed the knee. Yet when he heard Jacob was coming, he hurried out to meet him. He wasn't ashamed of the old man with his shepherd's clothes. What a contrast we see in Absalom. That young man broke his father's heart by his rebellion. The Jews are said to throw a stone at Absalom's pillar to the present day, whether they pass it as a token of their horror of Absalom's unnatural conduct. Come, now are you ready to be weighed? Have you been dishonoring your father and mother? Step into the scales and see how quickly you will be found wanting. See how quickly you will strike the beam. I don't know any man who is much lighter than one who treats his parents with contempt. Do you disobey them just as much as you dare? Do you try to deceive them? Do you call them old-fashioned and sneer at their advice? How do you treat that venerable father and praying mother? You may be a professing Christian, but I wouldn't have much, give much for your religion unless it gets into your life and teaches you how to live. I wouldn't give you a snap of a finger for a religion that doesn't begin at home and regulate your conduct towards your parents. So the application goes beyond just parental authority, isn't it? It affects all aspects of our life in this society. Thank God for his precious word. May he bring it into our hearts, and that we may bring it in remembrance in our daily dealing with our parents. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit. Grant us the understanding, Holy Spirit unction, to do thy holy will. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving, that we may be a heavenly people. In Jesus' name, amen.